Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're here again to study Thy Word. Lord, we know that we live in a time that most of us probably don't realize the importance of the coming of the Lord. Lord, sometimes we get wrapped up with the things of life, the routine of life, going to church and playing a tape. Father God, we forgot the most important part, the life of that word. For we have a message in the last days, not the letter form, but the life that's in that letter, God. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Forgive us this day and help us to go on with you. As we approach, Lord God, the third tape of your second advent or the second coming, or the rapture tape, Lord God, we pray so that you may help us. Help us to understand your word. Help us to rest upon your word. That no matter what happens around us, to know that we have a God that lives. We're so thankful, Lord, for your blessing upon us. We love you. Pray so you might keep us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. In our previous tape, tape number 2 of the second advent of Christ, we study certain events, especially 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and we dealt more detail on the 15th verse. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That second coming of the Lord, that address to the living, to the ones that are alive and remain, that they are from the same group, the same material, the same redemption, with the ones that die, unto the coming, unto the parousia of the Lord, shall not reach them which are asleep. We see here the Apostle Paul introduces the termination of death. And remember, at that time, we're going to see, if we extend the study later on to 1 Corinthians 15 and other portions of the Scriptures, that the living do not die, but they are changed in a twinkling of an eye. And we should have mentioned in the first portion of the study that the tapes that you should be listening, it's the spoken word, the original seed, both tapes, and also listen, the rapture tape. That's volume 65, book number 45. The rapture tape gives us a lot of information about the second advent of Christ. We know that the word rapture, and when we refer to the word rapture, we're referring to the second advent or the second coming of the Lord. That's the time that comes to catch his bride secretly. And we do not meet the Lord in this earth. We meet the Lord in the air, period. A man said to me one time that there's another man coming here that's Christ. He said to me, do you know him? I said, yes. He said, who is the man? I said, the Antichrist. A man stopped for a while. He said, what do you mean with that? I said, because we meet the Lord in the air. If he's in the ground, we don't meet him here, period. So many great things to study and to look at the Scripture, and we have to be very precise with the Word of God. It's like St. Martin when he saw that angel, and he says, I'm the Lord, you know. And St. Martin looked at the Word, and that being didn't wear a crown, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan, because the Word says we'll crown him. Beautiful thing to have the confidence of the Word of God, and don't deviate from it. Now, we like to continue on the following verse, which is 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This verse here, it's kind of a strange way that has been said, but the Word of God is perfect. And when I started studying the message, I had some questions about this verse. And I took a piece of paper. You might like to do the same thing now. If you take a piece of paper and just put a line at the center, a vertical line, and divide the piece of paper in two, and probably you can write six numbers down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, six kind of a sections. And for the first one, you write for the Lord himself. Number two, shall descend from heaven. Number three, with a shout. Number four, with the voice of an archangel. Number five, with the trump of God. Number six, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There are six events here that we're looking. Six specific events. Now, Brother Branham refers to the three events. Refers to number three, four, and five, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. And if you have been studying the book or the tape, the rapture, and that's volume, like I mentioned, 65, number 45, and you go to page 127, you'll find now that Brother Branham mentioned that this rapture would take place somewhere between 6 and 9 o'clock in the morning, and he based that on their watches, the different watch times. When you list the six things, it's like you read the King James Version, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. My question was, why Brother Branham didn't start, number one, the Lord himself, number two, it's an event that will be descent, number three, with a shout, then the voice of an archangel, and so on. Until I start studying in a very detail these events, because it's very important to know these events. And I believe the key or the heart of the whole rapture tape is these three events. And on paragraph 29, Brother Bram speaks about this, and he says, the word says in 2 Thessalonians that there are three things. He didn't take the verse and broke it into six parts, but he refers to these three things. He says, notice from the 13th to the 16th verse, there are three things that has to happen before the Lord himself appears. He speaks about these three things before you and I will see the Lord. He speaks about appearing, something that you will see that. Now, on that paragraph 129, he continues, the first thing happened, notice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet. And then he reads the verse, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. Continues in paragraph 130, three things happen. A voice, a shout, just a voice, a trumpet, then has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, a shout, Jesus does all these three things, when he's descending. A shout, that is a shout, a message going forth, first, the living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. When I studied this, I just said, now, what happened to the coming? Is the coming at the same time of these three events? Is after these three events? Or it's a progressive work with it? I started reading my Greek Bible, and in my Greek Bible, the sequence of events is like that. For the Lord himself, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That statement, shall descend from heaven, he doesn't appear before these three events. Shout, the voice, and the trump of God, but after these three events. And I can see very clear now why Brother Branham didn't say the descent, number one. No, he didn't say that. He says shout, the voice of an archangel, the trump of God. These three events that you see happening now these events are starting the descent, but it's not the descent. Because he very clearly said that these three things must happen. You know? He says, on the paragraph 129, notice he says, from 13 to the 16th verse, that there are three things happen, has to happen before the Lord himself appears. Before, not after. Before. And Brother Branham, not knowing Greek, and I know he didn't because he called me for words. He asked me for different meanings of words. These three events appear before the coming, while the King James says, for the Lord himself shall descend. Has the descent first, then has the three events, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. The Greek says, for the Lord himself, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, shall descend. The descent appears after these three events. Now, if you look now at these events, the first event that you see here is that there's a shout. Now, as the thing is, what is a shout? You might go to Webster or any of the eclectic language dictionaries or Oxford, you know, language dictionaries, and what you're going to see, somebody, you know, puts a scream or something. Or somebody, you know, thinks that somebody, some supernatural being will put its hands around his mouth and scream, hear this, no. That shout comes from the word kelevsma. The word kelevsma comes from the word kelevo, who means will give an order, a command, and instructions. It's the word is a command even at the time of a war, from the verb kelevo. I give specific instructions. Get ready. What to do. The preparation time. And that's what the message was all about. Was instructions. Was a kelevsma. Was that shout. That kelevo was instructions that God sent a prophet in the last days to tell us what to do. And listen how Brother Branham bases it. It's a shout. What is a shout? He says, it's a message going forth first. It refers to a message as a shout. The instructions, what to do. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. So the scripture refers it as to instructions. And Brother Branham has a message, which is the same thing. A message is an order, what to do. And remember, we don't start a new gospel. It's because we were backslid. Our salvation was based on the church. I'm this, I'm this, I'm that, I'm assemblies, I'm Presbyterian, I'm in the message. Listen, the true message leads us back to be dead in Christ so that the resurrected power of Jesus can dwell in us, the living Word of God can dwell in us in its purity without hybridization to make the Lord, the rapture. This, we're going to see later on the importance of it. So now this message that we have received, it's the kelevsma, which is the instructions, the shout. Looking at the King James, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What's that? With a shout. Now, go back to the Greek. Kelevsma is a shout, but it's a little word before en kelevsma, who means en. It's related to time. We interpret it within or with a space of time. What do we mean with this very precise is that there will be a period of time that in this period of time there will be given some instructions what to do. So this period of time, I believe, started when God sent a prophet to prepare us and tell us and gave us a message. And that message was to forerun the second coming of the Lord. As John the Baptist, and that's what I believe, that John the Baptist doctrine is very important, because if I would be told what you're going to do, what I'm going to do, it's like somebody else has done, I better look what somebody else has done to know what I'm supposed to be doing. And the scripture says, the message says, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, you have a message that will forerun the second coming. And this now in kelesma, related to time, we put it within the time, with other words, with a sound, and kelesma, means within a period of time, that message will be trumpeting, will be sounding. You say, Brother David, just a minute, where this starts and where this is finishing. Okay, we had a period of time that Brother Branham preached and called us, healed by the power of God, the sick were healed, and so on, until he came down to the Word. Now, I believe that there are many people, including ministers, that they have accepted the message and they preach the message without being saved. I believe that. Because the Word have said that and proclaimed that, and when you study John the Baptist, you'll find this to be the truth. You'll find that Christ selected Judas. And you find at the time of John the Baptist, that when John the Baptist started baptizing, and I think that might be a good thing to just look for a minute. When John the Baptist started baptizing in Mark, the third chapter, Mark 3, you'll see something like this. I'm going to mark the third chapter at the seventh verse. Then said he to the multitudes that came to be baptized of him. Just remember, these people accepted the message and they came to be baptized. Today, if we see these multitudes, they had the biggest tabernacle. That doesn't prove anything. When they came to John the Baptist, and why the Scripture refers to that word multitude, that's a question that you have to answer. John the Baptist looked at these people, and he called them generation of vipers. With other words, you're a serpent seed. And remember, these people came to be baptized by John, came to receive a baptism. They acknowledged John the Baptist to be a prophet there. And John the Baptist says, listen, you boys. Well, that seventh verse, he says, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. That word warn you to flee is the word epedixen, who means who have shown you the path to come to this message. And what he asked them for, where is your fruit of repentance? And today, you find this element very strong, not to be critical, very strong. You go to some churches, they are charismatic message people. Remember, they talk about revival, they are charismatic message people. And what they have, this. I believe God sent a prophet, praise the Lord, we pass a spoken word book, but when you come to the point about repentance, they don't even know what you're talking about. The only thing they know, they got a pastor. And he says, the pastor will protect me. And when you come to test their salvation and the foundation in the Word of God, you'll find out how the pastor protect them from the truth. Here, John the Baptist, that the multitudes that they came to him, he called them generation of vipers, sons of Satan, generation from the word genea, the verb genok means give birth, you have been gotten out of serpents. And listen to this group now. I'm not getting into it because I think it would be a good thing to go to the life of John the Baptist and make a study. Now, on the 8th verse, he says, bring forth therefore fruit worth of repentance. And remember, when the Apostle Paul was converted and was defending himself before King Agrippa, he speaks about this repentance, this worth of repentance. And then, you see, now, on the 9th verse, he says, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Because people were listening. He was listening to what he was telling him on the 8th and the 9th verse. So listen to what happened. On the 10th verse, and the people ask him, saying, and the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? With other words, here we come to be baptized by you. We are a big crowd who can make the biggest tabernacle. When the prophet was living, had a handful of people, friends. And here's the multitudes firing back at John. He says, John, look, we want to be in the message. Tell us then, what shall we do? And John, on the 11th verse, he said to them, now, you be good boys. Just if you have two garments, give one. Give one to somebody else that doesn't have it. Just have a good church in the message and go on. Remember, these people were John's followers afterwards. And they never had any repentance. So John called them serpent seed, and he gave them the instructions what to do. Don't start a war, and so on. Just have a good program, and reach everybody, big outreach, get the people interested. Just make a charismatic message, Las Vegas Entertainment Center, so that people can feel out there in the message and go on. But if you go down in there, you find the rotten things that are happening. People don't pay their bills. People don't care about anything. As long as they smile, God sent a prophet. But what is the repentance? And let's get out for this for a minute, because it was as John the Baptist had a message to forerun the first coming, you have a message to forerun the second coming. Remember, Brother Branham had this message to the bride, and it was a message of judgment to the lost. And these are religious people, friends. They're not out there. Look at what's happening today among the people of the message. Do you say, what is it? Just look there. Look at John the Baptist, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way down to the 14th verse. And if you try to break down 11, 12, 13, you find the political things of the churches. You found the seed, the serpent seed doctrine on the 7th verse. If you study the 8th verse, you're going to see the spoken word, the original seed. And so on. So now Brother Branham gets instructions. He has a message that is the bread of life. And the bread of life is the Word of God. That's what he says in paragraph 120 of the rapture tape. That bread of life that you see, it's not like I mentioned the previous step, building schools and give one code to another. All that stuff that you see, that's where they follow. Listen, it's not what the people claim to be, but it's what they are. Oh, we're in the bride, we're going to make the rapture. Look, the events that happened. The events that happened, that's what we came out from. And now today, the whole thing is wrapped up into the latter part when they go to John the Baptist and says, look, John, you'll throw us out. And the people ask him, saying on the 10th verse, what shall we do then? We're here to be baptized. You throw us out. You call a generation of vipers. You said we have nothing to claim from Abraham. So then what are you talking about? What do you want us to do? As Jews, it's pretty good business not to have to pay for a sacrifice. And I have always questioned one thing in church history. And I'll tell you what it is. If the Jews have never accepted their Messiah, which they haven't, why, after John the Baptist's message, history shows us that sacrifice was terminated. The Jews acknowledge Christ to be the Lamb of God. They don't even know it because they are blinded to it. You don't see today at the synagogue. Synagogue from the word sinao, sin is together, I will get together for leadership. You don't see any pigeons and any goats and any bullocks to be offered. Why? Why not? Because they are confessing that the Lamb came. They don't even know it. So now we have a message. And we brought a question. And the question is, if that shout was a message that was given to the bride, and I believe that we have that shout, and that's the message of the hour, for how long? Now, people say, before 63, after 63, that's a serpent seed, the trail. That's the trail of the serpent. That's the ones, have a good coat, give to another, have a missionary program, go on. I'm talking about the ones that have been conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And who come to the bottom of it and say, we had a message, there's no doubt that this message is the shout. But I'm still, that's the charisma, and it's in a period of time. What is that period of time that we're talking about? And that's very, very important. Because some people say the door has closed, some people hasn't closed. Now, I don't believe that anybody knows when that door is closed. Brother Branham says, is it possible? And remember, the charismatics of the message will keep on going on, passing books, and smile, God sent a prophet, and having a fishing trip and a hunting trip. They'll go on. The bride will be raptured, and the message temples will go on in their corruption. You say corruption? Absolutely yes. Now, you say, now how this is going to last?
Now, God has a period of time for that message. Is this related with the extent of life, of the extent of life of the prophet? Now, I'll tell you what I believe. God sent a prophet of Malachi 4, and I believe this is to turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. And there, when you hear the term, when I came out of Pentecost, makes me sick. Because it's a slant. It's a terrible statement to make against the Pentecostals. How they make mistakes? Yes. But Brother Branham says they had the Holy Ghost. They didn't follow the Word. If they say, I came out of the denominational Pentecostals, I say, I shake your hand. But Satan, that trail of the serpent still exists. And when I came out of the Pentecost, when I came out of Pentecost, I want to tell you something. I never came out of Pentecost. That Pentecostal spirit led me to this message, that Holy Ghost. And Satan's tactics is to try to break out the house. One Holy Spirit here, one before 63, one after 63, and then on the other side of their mouth, they turn around and say, we're not Trinitarians. I'll tell you what, you are heathens. So now we've got a shout, an instruction. And he said, what are we supposed to do? And Brother Branham says very clearly on tape, in paragraph 130, he says, it's the message going forth. He says, a shout. What is a shout? It's a message going forth first, the living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. So we talk about word material. People that they haven't been grandchildren to the message, people that they haven't been grown up in the messages, I mean the message, but the people, as John the Baptist, they have been led to repentance. It's a judicial act. And unless the Holy Spirit leads you to repentance, you cannot repent, because it's the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. I'm not talking about the sorrow of the world. I'm talking about godly sorrow that leadeth thee to repentance. Even the godly sorrow is not repentance, but leadeth thee to repentance. It's a definite act of the Holy Spirit that selects certain group. And where they repent, they mean repent. And when the church of the message becomes corrupted, you get out of it. That's what I believe. Because we have to follow the Word. And here's the Word God gave us, a prophet. That's the message. And I'm not going to be polluted. People say, Brother David, you don't have time to fellowship with that. To fellowship with what? Corruption. That's what it is sometimes. I don't say everybody like that. I don't say everybody has corruption. No. But when I see the politics, I'm out of it. No stand on marriage and divorce or nothing. It's the White Chapel in Las Vegas. Come over, give you a $10 or $20, we'll marry you. And if you don't marry you, too much politics, you're saying to somebody else, and then we'll give you a party, a welcoming party, sanctioning with it. Wait till you hear the oaths and vows that are going to study. And 1 Corinthians 7. So now this shout here that we see, that chelesma, will be in a certain time. Is there a scripture? Let me draw a parallel for a minute. Is this shout, is this message going to be the extent of the life of the prophet? From 1933, I received the message, to 1965, the Brother Branham died. What is that period of time? I want to know. The only place that I know for right now, without getting too much in it, is if you go to Revelation 10:7. Revelation 10:7, and we'll exclude one thing from there. Listen to this. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now we know that seventh angel is that angel of Laodicean, and we know that it's Brother Branham. No doubt about that. He declared it. Church ages, seals, and so on. No doubt about that. Now we talk about the seventh angel there. And listen to Scripture. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Not the days of the life of the seventh angel. That's why I believe in 65 when Brother Branham died, the message lives on today. There's life in this message. There's life in the message for the last predestinated seed to come in. And I believe also, in these books, in these tapes, there's a message to the lost. After the bride will be cut up, is somewhere, like Jesus was sent down to preach to the lost, somewhere this message will be declared to the lost. You might pass a book. They might throw it in the corner. They might reject it. The rapture takes place. But you make a service just to send that book because they will read their own judgment. Now, the scripture in Revelation 10:7 doesn't say, but in the days of the life of the seventh angel, in the days of the voice. Now you say, Brother David, what do you mean in the days of the voice? We never had in the history a parallel that travels like the audio sound traveled after 1946, 47. You remember from 40, 41 there, they started the wire recorders. Brother Bram comes into the scene, 47, 48, 49, so on. The magnetic tape started, and then eventually was developed. And the peak of the magnetic tape, the audio, I'm not talking about music that have now so many channels and so on. The audio tape, we can see that we're able to record the message. And the scripture says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, it says, in a period of time. When it's saying the days of great Alexander, we are talking about a specific period of time when great Alexander lived and ruled and whatever he did. So in the days of the voice, there's a period of time. Going back in, with a shout, enkelevzmati, in a period of time. Not in the based on the life of the prophet, but in the message itself reaching the last predestinated seed even at this time. See, when Brother Branham died, went to the grave, the message didn't die. The message went on. Now, I might say something here, and I might offend somebody. Many people say, Brother Branham says that he will run the second coming. Now, that's fine if you told somebody. But you see, I have never found one place in the message. From 47 to 65, Brother Branham said this, that he said, in the days of the voice, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, you have a message. He based it on the message, and that was perfect with the word in Revelation 10:7. Now some people base it on the life of the prophet. Fine, I love you, you're my brother, we go on, fine, but I don't have foundation for that. I'm taking your word, while the tape says in the days of the voice, when the scripture, and when the message says, He says, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, you have a message that will forerun. Now, I have never seen, but the Bible says, you will forerun it. But I have seen it. I have heard it many times. He says, you have a message that will forerun the second coming. And never once in the tapes mentioned that. Now, some people say, Brother Bram told me that you will forerun, yeah, the message was forerunning it. But when you talk about you will forerunning it, you go to fiscal and so on. Partial resurrection. I don't understand some of the revelations, so I just leave them alone. I said, Lord, help me. If it's true, I want to know it. I'm not going to kick around anything. But it cannot contradict the word. It has to correlate with the word. Now, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when shall begin to sound? It's a phonetic, from the Greek word salpizo there, it's a phonetic area that you'll be hearing it. There's something that you can hear. Let's say that 100 years ago, the seventh church age took place. There was no sound recording. Then you see, you don't hear it anymore. The prophet left. But here today, Revelation 10:7 is fulfilled because I can play a tape and it says, he's still sounding. I can hear it phonetically. There's a sound in my ear. Now, let's look in an outline that specific verse now. When we are talking about that specific shout, we're talking that this has taken place, or if the door is not closed, it's still taking place. You say, do you have the shout? I said, yes, sir. Do you have the parousia? No, sir. Is the parousia related to the shout? I says, the shout will be forerunning the descent. And the descent begins at the time of the shout. Now, listen to what Brother Branham says in another portion. If you go to paragraph 141, he says, he ordained these things to be. And he says, first thing comes, with he starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. The start. It's not the descent. The parousia includes there what? Includes the termination of death. And that's why I believe what happened. Sometimes you go and read Jehovah's Witness books and books by Stewart and so on, and you go there and he says, here it is, first was the coming, then he has come. No, the Greek Bible never put the coming first. Put the three events first and after the coming. Shall descend. And Brother Brown put the three events, not number one, shall descend. No, no, Brother Brown didn't do that. Brother Brown says, the three is number one, the shout. And he says, the descending, has it started? He says in paragraph 121, he ordained these things to be, and he must send this. The first things come when he starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. He says, has the descent started? I said, the events of the descent indicates start. That's what I'm saying. And what do you think of people today? They don't care anymore. You talk about corrections. You talk about discipline, about the Word of God, about the house of God. Discipline themselves to be able to assemble and pray and seek the Lord. Oh, I'm coming, going to tell I want to. Because you say, can you stop it? No. If you had a power to, would you stop it? I says, no, if I can help it, because fulfilling the Word of God. At the end, will be just a few walk in there. It's not a hallelujah corner. It's not. Your attitude today toward the body of Christ, it's the sowing time of what you're going to reap tomorrow. It's the condition of what you reap now of your attitude that you had yesterday. So now this shout takes place, and we know that this phonetic sound of Revelation 10:7, it says that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, not in the days of the life. And that voice is still sounding today. If it doesn't, then the message is dead. And I don't believe the message is dead. Now, when we look now at this first statement, we know that this thing happened. And we know that this thing is the shout, the number one. It took place. But when Brother Branham died, the message went on. You say, then as long as we have a recording, then the message will be going on. I say no. Because in Kelesmati, with a shout, and that is a certain period of time. When this is terminated, I don't know. It might have already been terminated. It might not. I don't know. Now, the charismatics of the message, because you see somebody accepting the message, coming in, taking a bath, and living like the devil, and if you listen, if you listen the sounding anymore, you don't hear about repentance. You don't hear about forgiveness before God. You know what you hear? Accept the message. That's the trail of the serpent, because John says, generation of vipers, you don't even have repentance. You can't even produce it. Who have warned you? There were some boys there, went over with the spoken word books, ran around, convinced some people that the prophet is right, deprogrammed their brains, brought them in, joined the message, they were baptized, have a big congregation, a big revival. But when you talk about the rotten area underneath, the biggest people that say amen and amen, don't pay their bills, married 2-3 times deacons, pastors allow preachers that divorce men in the pulpit, when he said himself, Brother Branham said, if my wife divorces me, takes me out of the pulpit. What do you expect? They go on. They will go on. The rapture will take place. The bride will be gone. And you'll still be going to your church. Love your pastor. Go on. That's a hard gospel. But you study. You cannot say, I John the Baptist. You better go to see what happened with John the Baptist there. The multitudes. It's not a sign of a blessing today to see multitudes, because it's one here and one there. In 1965, when right before Brother Branham died, the things that you hear constantly, it's a handful here and a handful there, because all these thousands are gone. I don't have any hot body to preach to, hardly. Today, the people have a lust to preach to. Why? No repentance. Brother Branham preaches straight gospel. Now, I'll show you how this happened in another study. But here, we know that we have a shout. Now, is the Gentile bride going to have anything else or they're leaving, period? I say no. They already had a message. They rejected it. The world rejected it. The message people make it a charismatic, hallelujah, work for the Lord, have a missionary program, bring the money in, love your pastor. And what about repentance of the Holy Ghost and stand before God? They hate you for that. Oh, a man said to me one time, Brother Dave, he said to me, I warn a person about you. I says, tell me about what? And I said, open your Bible, let's talk about it. You didn't have any guts to stand. Why? Because they don't like it. They don't like the word anymore. You know? Oh, you tell them about marriage and divorce. Don't say anything about that. And always the political ground, they'll use some other person to show what they believe. A minister. Not because he's married and he's the pastor and he's preaching. I see what he puts at the pulpit and I'll tell you what he's made out of. That's right. He puts Trinitarian preachers up there, I'll tell you what he's made out. Men that are not supposed to be at the pulpit, and I'll tell you what he's made out of. Divorce men that's at the pulpit, I'll tell you what that pastor believes. And don't blame anybody else. That's the dirty laundry right behind the closet. That sounds rough, but that's the truth. What do we have the next now? The next thing we have here happening, we're back on 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Number 1, we have the shout. Number 2, we have the voice of an archangel. What is an archangel? Now, an archangel is coming from the Greek word archangelos. Angelos is an angel and comes from the verb agelo, who means I give a message. So we have now somebody that's going to give a message there. And archangelos means the chief of the angels. There's something strange about that word, archangel, archangelos. Not in plural tense, archangels. It's not group here, group there, group there, and each one will have a chief above it and it's an archangel. No. In a singular tense of an archangel. Now, what is an archangel? First of all, appears only twice in the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. Look perfection of this message. Look perfection of that prophet of God. It appears only twice in the Scripture. The first time appears in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. And he says, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. The next thing that you find it appears is in the book of Jude. Now, the book of Jude, right before Revelation, has only one chapter, and it appears on the 9th verse. Yet Michael the archangel identifies now who is that archangel. Only one archangel. And that is Michael. When he contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Now listen close. We're beginning to the message again. Now stay with Jude, the 9th verse. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not being against him, railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, Michael, the archangel, one archangel, twice appear, the word archangel. We'll go to Michael in the book of Daniel in a minute. It's only appear twice the term archangel, one in 1 Thessalonians and the other one in the book of Jude. And here we see that Michael, the archangel, deals with the dead, the body of the dead, claiming the body of the dead from Satan. There was a dispute there. Many Jewish historians feel that this dispute, because Moses had committed a murder, they say. And Satan says, now I have a claim on Moses, Because Moses is a murderer, he committed, he's my child. But God forgave Moses. Now, if you take this and you say, am I going to be in the resurrection? Is the resurrected power of God dwells in me? If there's sin in my life and your life, that's what we're here for, to be right with God. If there's sin in my life and your life, Satan has the right to make a claim to the archangel Michael that you are his. The only people that can go up there is the ones that have been already judged by the blood of Jesus, forgiven. There's no doubt that God has forgiven them. That's why Satan cannot make a claim to them. They cannot go through the judgment. Satan cannot claim anything in them. How many times Brother Branham says, it's what you are, that's what you're going to be on the other side. If you're a sinner now, you're going to be a sinner then. If you're a saint now, you're going to be with the Lord. So now, Michael the Archangel, and I would like for you, if you go to the rapture tape, just what do? We'll put the message and the scriptures together because it's total harmony. We have no problems. And if you go to paragraph 152, volume 65, book number 45, the tape rapture, Brother Branham says, a shout, then a voice, and then the trump. Shout, a messenger getting the people ready. That's what we had. The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice, that loud voice of John 11:38 and 44. You remember, that's about Lazarus now. Listen to what he puts the second one, that voice of an archangel. He says, the voice of the resurrection. That archangel, Michael, deals with the dead, the power that fights. And that archangel deals with the dead. So listen to the scary thing about the whole thing. We had a shout. We have nothing else coming to us. The people have rejected. The people go backwards. They don't care about being dependent to God anymore than I don't care what. God is no number one in their lives. If you say, Brother Dave, can you honestly say that the people of this message getting closer to be like the bride of Christ? I'll say no. Let's do something about it. There's nothing you can do because the falling away has to take place. And if you fall away, you are somewhere that you fall from. That's why you see the program has to maintain the church today, a school and a missionary work around there, so many thousands. That's commercials. I support a missionary program, but the key of the whole thing is to challenge the individual life to be ready to meet Jesus Christ. And outside of that house of correction, the rest of his commercials. Don't tell me I'm going to be there and tell me everything's all right when I need God. That's why I admire preachers that they tell me where I stand instead of how it's going to be on the other side. That's deception in the highest form. Did you watch the PMA people? Positive mental attitude? Some of them following that doctrine. Some of them went to their leaders and talked to them how to preach. I know that in fact. The PMA positive mental attitude gives you the gospel and makes you believe you're going to be there, but never challenges your life to examine it to make sure that you're going to be there. That's how this big tabernacles are built. If you watch, everybody's going to be there. You're in the message. You love the prophet. Praise the Lord. Look at the corruption underneath. Look at churches with pregnant girls there. Look at it. The only difference, I face the truth and I say, Lord, be merciful to me. I don't want to be critical for nobody. But I cannot close my eyes to the truth either. Marry and remarry anytime you want to. Wait till you get to oaths and vows. You got to take strong meat. Don't listen to that tape. So now, Brother Branham refers to that second. He says, this second is the voice of the resurrection. You have nothing to do with that. It's to the dead. What we have to do now, God gave us a message. Let's make sure that this message goes on. Let's make sure that we have this message in its fullness. Now we're living in a time that is supposed to have every word that the prophet said and be putting it together and see the scriptures and the message as one thing. There are some people that they feel, oh, brother, we have the seals, Brother Branham preached the seals, and so on, and now we don't need anything else. They think the seals is something else that just dropped from heaven. They don't realize that these seals, it has to be in the scripture or it's a lie. Brother Branham taught us. Listen to what he says in paragraph 76 of that rapture tape. We all know we're living the Laodicean age. There will never be another age to it. People say, I'll have another age, the rapture age. Fine. Go ahead with it, you know. I'm listening. Whatever, I don't care how you call it. To me, we have the shout. That's all I know. So, we're living in the Laodicean churches. And these seven seals that held that book in the mystery to people should be open at this day. That's what he promised. Now, it won't be nothing outside the word. Well, people say the seals were somewhere picked up from the sky. But the branches, it won't be nothing outside of the word. Because you can add to the word, take away from the word. It refers to Revelations. All people say, I'll take this before 63, after 63. Go ahead. Go ahead. John the Baptist placed you. No room for repentance for these boys. If God to remain always the word, Brother Branham says here on paragraph 76, by the revelations to reveal the truth of it, what it is, to make it fit with the rest of the scriptures, and then God vindicates to be the truth. Did you see what he says? He and the seals cannot add or take away from the scriptures. But people today, they throw the scriptures away. They come up with a new doctrine of marriage and divorce. You can't find the scripture. Don't look at the scripture. Tell me, I'll let you know what you do. That's a trail of the serpent. That's what it is. Exactly what it is. The scripture is the final testing ground. Brother Branham never listened to this, you trail of the serpent, some of you. Never said to you to test the scriptures by the message. Never. He tells you to take the message to the scriptures. And let me tell you this. I believe this message to be perfect with the scriptures, and I believe there is nothing to be afraid to face the truth. I'm not afraid to take this message to the scripture to nobody. But look where we're at today. So now the next thing we have, Michael the Archangel. Now, let me, for a minute, mention a couple of three things about Michael the Archangel. Now, if you go to the Hebrew meaning of Michael, signifies this, who is like God. The name Michael means who is like God. Now, it demotes the humility and greatness of his prince of angels. And if you go to Exodus, the 15th chapter, the 11th verse, the book of Psalms, and especially in Daniel 10:13, you'll find out that Michael was the mighty force that fought for the people of God. There's a book, probably I shouldn't even bring this up, that this book, it's called the Book of Enoch, and we know Enoch stands for the resurrection, and that book was not discovered until it was discovered at the Milan Library. The Aberration Library, you know, by the public of Seriani, of the old Latin scripture version there. And there refers also about the power of Michael. Michael the Archangel, the chief of angels, claims the body of Moses out of the hands of Satan. He says, Satan, you let that, I know in the Garden of Eden Moses had to die too, and great prophets, but you have God buried Moses in a secret place. Do you know that? God buried Moses in a secret place. People don't realize, but if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, you read that in Deuteronomy, I think probably around the 34th chapter, somewhere the first 5-6 verses there, you'll find that. But in that book that they discovered, which is mainly known as the Book of Enoch, and has been translated into Latin, some other languages, you will see there that Enoch, being the type of resurrection, the part that Michael the Archangel had to do you know, with Enoch. Now, friends, that's just a book, but let's stay with the scriptures for a minute. We have a shout. You and I, we have nothing else coming to us. The coming of the Lord can be any minute. Don't base your faith on the churches of the message that everybody's going to be raptured. Forget it. We'll be one here, one there. It's scary, but it's true. We should live day and night to make sure that this message goes out. Goes to the lost. Look for the predestination. God never calls us to spray from an airplane spoken word books and we say, we have done so much and so much. God called us to be led by His Spirit to find the last predestinated seed. Numbers have nothing to do with the last day's message. As John the Baptist, so you'll forerun the second coming. John the Baptist called the multitude generation of vipers, and John the Baptist was upset with them. Do you know that? John the Baptist was so upset with them, he said to them, "Who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Do you know that? And because why? They went ahead and started giving a big thing to John. John said on the third chapter or the seventh verse, he says, "Who have warned you?" Without which, who have an impedix at you? Who, without the authority, went over and convinced you to join this message and be baptized into Jesus' name and accept that William Branham was the true prophet? Because what happened? What you bring in? Unrepentant sinners. See them at the pew. Deprogram their brains to follow the message. Without salvation. Preachers with two, three wives and deacons. The pastor plays the politics, blames one, blames the other to be in the middle so it can escape. As long as you have tithing and a crowd, that's what we care. Build my school, do this and do that, and rotten to the core. I said, "Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be critical, but I'm not going to be part of that." We're living in a time that we have to be walk with the Lord. And if the word is not preaching its fullness, I often said that if I cannot stand up at the pulpit and preach any verse of the scriptures, I have no business in that pulpit. I don't care if it's marriage and divorce, if it's crime, if whatever it is, it has to be preached. I think our time is up. Closing, I'd like to say I appreciate here, and I'd like to mention the final thing, the only thing I will mention about the final thing, which we know about the trump of God. Now, Brother Brown very clearly says this on the rapture tape, page 32, the third paragraph, 153, he says, "Now the third thing is the trump, which always at the feast of the trumpets is calling the people to the feast, and that be the bride's supper, the lamb's supper with the bride in the sky." These three things, starting the descent. You say, "Brother David, you have the parousia?" I say, "No." "Do you believe that you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in this hour?" "Yes." "Did you have the parousia?" "Not according to 1 Thessalonians 4, because you never had the termination of death in 63, Brother Brown died in 65. In these three things, Brother David, what you believe? I believe, and we believe in this church, that we have a shout, God sent a prophet, declare a message, and we believe this message to be true, and we have no problem to bring this message to the scriptures. Before 63, after 63, from 47 all the way down, we have no problem. The trail of the serpent started leading before 63. That's true. And what do you believe about that shout? I believe that shout was declared. Has this shout been terminated? I said, I don't know. Because it could be over. Could not be over. But we have people coming to the message. That doesn't prove anything. Brother Bram says people think they are saved. Today people will follow anything as long as they find rest a little in their mind. Stay for a while, then they're gone. How a person can be sealed by the Holy Ghost, I can go to repentance, not to be repented.
Godly sorrow, the Scripture says, leads to repentance, not to be repented. When the Holy Spirit leads you to true godly sorrow, that leads you to repentance, there's not to be repented. You're saved. And I'm not teaching eternal security without the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you first. But we're leaving that hour. We have a shout. Everything stands still. We might be gone tonight. I don't know. People go on, praise the Lord, big revival. Cry a little bit at the altar, scream a little bit, it's revival. You listen around. Like I said, they don't pay their bills. They're not dependable anymore. The pastor plays politics, keeps silence. Silence is a sanction. You know that? You go to Numbers, the 40th chapter. When a father heard about his daughter, this is going to be committed in a man, if he keeps silence, that will stand if he doesn't speak against it. Appreciate to be here to this day to worship the Lord and love the Lord. The Lord tells us we'll continue on the resurrection. There's so much in the resurrection, there's so much to do in 1 Corinthians 15, the rest of the scriptures, the book of Psalms, the book of Matthew, the first resurrection. Not all the saints, but many of the saints. How come David didn't rise again? Because we see him in Acts 2. Peter testified to that. All these great doctrines of the scriptures. But we don't know if we're going to see each other even in this service. The coming of the Lord can take place any minute. May the Lord bless you. God bless you.